folks that I've invited. I've seen Dr. Dory Blackwood all the way from Jamaica online. I see Sister Arlene Jarrett also from Jamaica. I have folks from New Jersey, Leslie Gordon and his wife. I see my sister-in-law all the way in New York, Weg Wint. I have my sister-in-law also from Jamaica, Kleinies Lang. She's on. Dr. Dory just sent me a message. Dr. Blackwood just sent me a message. Said, blessing to you, Dr. Tucker. I have folks from England. My cousin Martin, my cousin Barbara, I believe she is there too. I'm not 100% sure, but my wife is on to Cirrus. So she's there too. And a number of other folks. I can't make out what the names are on the phone, but thank God they are here joining. I have folks from England, Canada, Barbados, Jamaica, the U.S. I can't name them all, but some say they will be coming in later. But thank God I'm here. We are here. Amen. Amen. Thank the name of the Lord. I'm not going to hold things up so much. Good to see you, Sister Angie. So, likewise, my sister, bless the name of the Lord. I'm all the way in Florida, in the Tampa, Land O'Lakes area. So it's good to be online this way as well, ministering the word with you today. So let's, without any ado, let's get to it right away. Amen. 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 Turn with me if you will. We're going into the scripture now to John chapter 4, and I'm going to read from verse 4 to 18. Then I'll zero in on the 27th verse as well. Give you some time to find it. St. John chapter 4. No longer they call it St. John. They just call it John these days. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. They used to call him St. John, St. Matthew. Okay. Verse 4 starts. Now he had to go through Samaria. I think I'm reading from the New International Version. From verse 4 again, now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from his journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? His disciple had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, you are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews does not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that ask you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drink from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock? Verse 13. Jesus answered, everyone who drink this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drink the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will come in them a spring of water welling up into everlasting life. Verse 15, the woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. He told her, call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right when you said you have no husband. The fact is you have five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. Jump down to verse 27 with me. Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asks what do you want or why are you talking with her? Then leaving her water jar, The woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Verse 27 is key verse. It says, "Just then," from the NIV, "his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, 'What do you want?' or 'Why are you talking with her?' Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, 'Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?' They came out of the town and made their way toward him." Amen. While we pray. Father, we give you thanks. We bless you for life once again and for the opportunity of being in worship service. Thank you for everyone on this platform. We are distance apart, but God, you have brought us together. And we ask in the name of Jesus that you will be among us. Hang out with us for just a few moments. And dear Lord, we pray that as these words resonate, oh my God, we pray that it will find wings and fly to the heart and the mind and to the spirit of your people. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, we are at a distance, and this is a familiar chapter that we read all the time, but maybe what the Lord is about to do through me may bring a different twist to the story. Amen. Whenever one begins the reading of this chapter of John, one is immediately struck with what is the dynamic posture of Jesus's ministry. In no way, shape, or form could the ministry of Jesus be defined or tagged as static. There's always something progressive about his ministry. There's always something dynamic about who he is and what he intends to do. The text says very plainly in the first verse of the fourth chapter of John that Jesus had concluded a great work in Judea, located in the south, and the Holy Spirit now pointed him towards the north, where he must begin making his journey towards Galilee. He and John has recently shared ministerial labor together in the south of Judea. Now the Holy Spirit beckons Jesus to pull up stakes and move north to carry the great campaign of salvation and his great evangelical enterprise to the north of Galilee. Now there were three routes by which he could have taken to make his journey from the south of Judea to the north of Galilee. Stay with me. He could have gone straight up the Galilean coast. That was one possibility. The other possibility was to cross the River Jordan, go up into Galilee by a place called Perea. But then there was a third option. It was almost as if Jesus was understanding what is a basic mathematical principle, that the shortest distance between two points is always a straight line. And the most direct route from where he was in Judea to Galilee, where you need to be, was the route that would lead him through Samaria. But everybody knows that the Jews and Samaritans were antagonists. They were century-old foes. There was always some antagonistics between Jews and Samaritans, that whenever the two get together, they were always a fight of some sort. His disciples obviously felt that Jesus could have chosen one of the other routes, but Jesus said, "No, we are going through Samaria. I don't care what you consider the cost to be. I don't care what you consider the difficulty that there might be encountered, but we are going to Galilee and we are going by way of Samaria." When our Lord approaches Samaria, he came to a village called Sychar. And there in Sychar is a well And that well had been dug centuries ago by Jacob. It was dug with a particular thought in mind. It was a well dug by Jacob for his son Joseph. Look at Jesus as he perches himself and posture, if you will, himself on the side of the well, as he sits there thirsty and he sits there hungry, longing for something to satisfy his needs. He commissioned his disciples to leave him there, and they are to go into the village to fetch food, to get vegetables, to get substance, that Jesus and his colleague could be nourished and given nutrition for the journey, continuing journey ahead, up out of Samaria, up out of the village of Sychar, to the northern community of Galilee. Now the disciples took Jesus at his word, depart from him, gone into the village of Sychar, leaving him alone at the well. John is very meticulous in telling us that it is a high hour of 12 noon on the clock, that all of a sudden Jesus see coming across the burning sands of the village of Sychar, a lonely, solitary figure. And this figure had on the top of her head a water jar. Logic only made two suggestions in the omniscient mind of the everlasting Christ, that perhaps there is some emergency that drives this woman to the well at 12 noon, because people in the ancient Occidental Oriental world of the first century never comes to the well at noonday, because that was the hottest part of the day. People come to fetch water early in the morning before the sun rose to his zenith position, or they would come on the evening past 6 when the sun was beginning its meridian ride to hide itself behind the western horizon. But here's a woman who comes, perhaps because there is an emergency and she was definitely in need of water. But there's a second possibility, and the second possibility is that she comes to the well because she wants to avoid everybody, because there's a stigma attached to her personality. It's not so much that she really wants to avoid the men. It is the woman she's really afraid of, because she had encountered them once before. Brothers, I'm going to need you to help me through this message, because you and I both know that it's something for a man to talk about a woman, but it's a horse of another color when a woman talks about a woman, especially if there's a man in the middle of it all. Have you ever looked at a woman talking about another woman when there's a man in the middle of it? You notice how their lips kind of curled up, how they rolling their lips and they lick out their tongue. They look at that woman and say, "That old hussy, who does she think she is?" And they would release some words that I'm not liberty to say, because I'm trotting on holy ground. But if you see me after church service, perhaps when I'm visiting T-Neck in person outside the premises, say on the sidewalk, I might be able to tell you what they could have said. The townswomen teach, Tucker teach. They have already decided amongst themselves that this particular woman,
power off,
was not welcome in their circle of religious circle. They did not want her on the deaconess board. They did not want her to wear missionary white, because there was nothing pure about her. Nobody would have invited her to be an usher or a greeter at the church door, because her life was tainted and there were blemishes on her life. Already everybody knew she had 5 husbands. And the brother with whom she was currently involved with was her living lover. Some of you probably got lovers they just don't live in. But this woman, she has a living lover. Come on now, I know I'm treading in deep water, but I know how to swim, my brethren. The woman had colored such an ugly portrait of her personality that she was morally and ethically tainted. And in order to avoid the smirk and the underhanded comments that would come from the townswoman, she chose to come when nobody else was there. But on this day, as she approached the well with the water pot on her head, she noticed that at the well there is a man. Now, in early days, when her figure was intact, before those curves begin to roll into fat, when girlfriend had her act together. But now a few years have passed by, one could look at her and tell she'd been around the track a few times in her early days. Come on now, don't you look at me as if you don't know what I'm talking about. She might have taken that as an indication to flirt with this man. And because of the kind of reputation she had, it's not far from beyond her mental expectation to think that this man was there because he wanted to proposition her, or with language contemporary with the time, maybe he wanted to hit on her. But she did not know who this man was. No, no. He was not there to proposition her. There was no erratic intent in his spirit. In fact, this woman did not even know it, that the man at the well had a hand in creating who she was, and this man was the answer to her dilemma. I want to help somebody today. That is, if you want to be helped. Is there anybody out there who want to be helped? Because this is not a sermon just for women. This is a sermon for everybody. Because there is a man I want to talk about that every woman and every man need. And my sermon topic is the man that every woman need. Who is he? Today, I'd like to bring 3 points across and then end my sermon. First of all, this man had a defined and intimate relationship with God. Am I talking to anybody out there? No, notice, I did not say it was somebody that you bring to church. There's a difference between bringing a man to church and the man having a defined and intimate relationship with God. Am I right about that? You see, when you come to the church house, you bring to the sanctuary baggages. We bring our frustration, we bring our anxiety, we bring our guilt, we bring our abuse, we bring misuse, we bring mistreatment, we bring low self-esteem and low esteem and self-worth. We drag all the baggages into the sanctuary, and because we have so much excessive baggage in our lives, it becomes a difficult task on the part of God to help in developing with us an intimate and defined relationship. You see, many of us make the mistake that because we love somebody or think we love somebody, when in reality we are caught up in externals and we are not really concerned about what somebody is on the inside. It's not about what somebody look like on the outside. It's about what somebody look like on the inside. And we think that because we can drag somebody up in the church house and make them sit through an hour and a half or 2 hours of service, that we are doing something that will ultimately enhance that person. That may or may not be true. Because ultimately, it's not about your relationship with him or his relationship with you. It's about the relationship with God and her relationship with God. And a relationship is not meant to be anything but defined and intimate if it has a word or possibility at all. If that brother does not have and is not concerned with a defined and intimate relationship with God, get out. Don't think that you have the power to transform him. Don't think that what you got is stuff that can convert him. Only God can convert a human personality. Your stuff may be good, but honey, it ain't that good. Back in the 20s when I was coming along, Dionne Warwick have a song that said, "Don't make me over." And there are lots of brothers out there who are telling you right now by their actions, "Don't make me over. I like liquor now, I'm gonna like liquor later on. I love drugs now, I'm gonna love drugs later on. Friday night, I like to light up with a little weed. Saturday night, I like to smoke a little crack. Come Sunday, come Saturday night, I like to party till the day come. Who cares about Sunday? I'm gonna party till I drop. So don't tell me that I need to change." Well, let me tell you something. God can change anybody who wants to be changed. God can transform anybody who wants to be transformed. I have to get a little bit of help around here, because there is somebody on this platform right now who made that same claim, don't make me over. But thanks be to God, if you hang around the fire long enough, you will caught on fire. Can I get some help right about now? How many of you know what it is to sit in the back of the church house when you first became a part of the fellowship? But the closer you got to Jesus, the closer you want to get to the fire. You don't want to sit back there where everybody passes note and where everybody wants to talk all service long. You've been through hell. You came to the church house because you want a word from God. You want to get a word so that when you leave the church house and you get back out there, you got something on the inside. God said you want somebody who wants to define an intimate relationship with him. Listen to Jesus. Just then Jesus tell the woman, if you only knew who it is that is talking to you, you would not be raising all of those interrogatives about the water that I have. You don't really know who I am. I have a defined and intimate relationship with my Father. He who have seen me have seen the Father. I and the Father are one. Somebody is raising the question right now. How can you determine? And how can you tell if somebody you are yoked up with equally or unequally has a defined and intimate relationship with Jesus Christ? And I ought to pause here and say parenthetically, some of you are not going to like this. Some of you are going to get mad with me. And after I'm through saying it, I will get off this platform so I can get out of here quick and in a hurry. Some of you are going to get mad with me. But you will get over it. Just because you are married, that God intend for that relationship to take place. There are some of you right now who are living in hell. You lied. You said God told you that was the man. That was not God spoken. That was your hormone talking to you. Come on, I'm going to be real up in here today. How many of you have discovered that get old after a while? There's got to be life beyond the bedroom. How do you tell? How do you determine whether or not he has a defined and intimate relationship with God? It's all written here right into this book. Does he hunger and thirst after righteousness' sake? Does he pray without ceasing? Does he believe that the word of God is a lamp to his feet and a light into his pathway? Or do you have to drag him to church every time you're going there? Does he tell you, honey, I can't wait to get to church today? Or does he say, there are folks at the church that help set me on fire? Now, let me be honest. Let me argue for 2 minutes. Can I? The text clearly say that this nameless Samaritan woman from the village of Sychar had 5 husbands. Now we automatically assume that these 5 nameless brothers were bad men. That may or may not be true. It's only a one-line commentary of who they were. Jesus said to the woman, go home, tell your husband, bring him back right here at the well so I can have a little chat with him. The woman did not lie. Thank God. She said, I have no husband. One line. You hear me? One line. Jesus said, I know you had 5. Then he had an addendum. He said, and the brother with whom you're living with now isn't your husband. We don't know what happened to the 5 before the 1. They could have gotten sick and died. They could have died of natural causes, could have gotten in an accident. One of them could have fallen off a scaffold. We don't know. But we make the assumption that they have had to have been bad men. No. They may not have nothing to do with them. It could have had something to do with her. Because look at the 6 dude. The five we don't know anything about, but brother number six become her living lover, and that tell me that while I may not know whether or not the five before had a defined and intimate relationship with God, I know that brother number six did not. Because if he had a defined and intimate relationship with God, you'd have respected the woman enough not to live with her. And for some of you crazy black women in the church house today, stop giving away the milk and ask God, can I preach up in here? Can God speak through me to somebody today? Some of the brothers are saying, why buy the cow when I can get the milk free?
Come on, somebody. Amen.
Somebody better help me. Somebody better help me up in here. How many of you believe that it's really true what the scriptures say, that the truth will make you free? How many of you believe that if I am free in Christ, I am free indeed? How many of you are not ashamed to admit that it pays to serve Jesus and it pays to wait on God, and you wait on God to send you somebody who had a defined and intimate relationship? Hold it. I'm sorry. You can call me arrogant. You can call me self-confidence. You can call me this, that, or the other. But I have made up in my mind that I will never settle for a sloppy second. I would rather wait on God and be all by myself than pick out somebody who does not have an intimate relationship with my God and be in hell. Give somebody a high five and tell them, honey, I'm waiting. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. I believe it. Oh, I wish I have some help on this platform. Does anybody out there believe it? I'd rather be with Jesus Christ all by myself than live with somebody who does not have a defined and intimate relationship with God, because the word of God reminds me that I need to exercise faith in God and tell him that I love you, God. Every woman need a man who have a defined, let me roll up my sleeve and go to work at this, an intimate relationship with God. Can I go on? What else, preacher? What kind of a man? What kind of a man that every woman need? Which brings me to my second point. First of all, every woman need a man who will respect her innermost need and never take advantage of her vulnerability. I just said something and most of you depart mystic. Every person, regardless of gender or sex, is in need of three things in order to live a holy Christian life. Every human being need to be loved unconditionally, despite faults and failures. Somebody say amen. Secondly, every human being wants to be and need to be respected. In other words, I need to be acknowledged as a creature who have worth and dignity. Somebody say, I know that, right? Not only do I need to be loved unconditionally, not only do I need to be respected as somebody with worth and dignity, but I also want and need to be embraced. I need to be made to feel that I'm part of the whole and that I'm not some kind of strange and alienated character. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Does anybody here know what it means to be alienated? Does anybody here knows what it means to be estranged? Many of you know what it is to feel that you are not a participant, but that you are a spectator, that people disengage themselves from you because what? You don't look like them. You don't dress like them. You don't talk like them. You don't act like them. You don't behave like them. Everybody need to be embraced. That is why many of us fall victim to peer pressure. It's only a person's cry to be embraced. Put it another way. To be included. This nameless woman in Samaria by the village well at Sychar was crying out to be loved, crying out to be respected, crying out to be embraced. That That is why she accepted sloppy second. That is why she forfeited her right to wait and caught the first train coming down the track, even though the train doesn't carry her baggages. Can I help somebody? You know, I realize I'm from another generation. I'm not as hip-hop like a lot of today's Christians. You know, I think that everybody ought to have respect for themselves. That you develop standards and you develop a high standard and you don't let anybody break your standard down. Can I preach? What in the world is wrong with our young women of today? Anybody feel that way? That always running after men with pierces all over them, pierced nose, pierced eyebrow, pierced tongue, pierced ears, everywhere they can pierce. When they smile, metal is all over their teeth, not to mention the tattoos. Anywhere they can find an empty spot on their body, they mark it up. You got to build character. You got to have worth. You got to have dignity. You got to have integrity. You got to have values. Oh, somebody help me up in here. Somebody please tell me that values have not gone out of style. Somebody please tell me that there is something good to say about character. Here is a woman who has lost respect for herself. And a lot of us Christian folks are not even moved by that because common law shacking up. Living lovers are common. This is a generation that cares well. It is commonplace. My mother did it before me. My grandmother did it before me. And it's possible that in this day and time, there could be three generations where common law arrangements are acceptable. And for many young women growing up today, that kind of a lifestyle is normal and not abnormal. Some of you mothers and fathers listening to those CDs, your children are listening today, you better take note and listen carefully to some of those lyrics those CDs carry because they are not female friendly. I can't imagine us Christian listening to lyrics coming from those forms of music that say, rack that thing up, shake it fast, show me what you're working with. Come on. I like the temptation, but I know what many of you are listening to. Can you imagine Jesus looking at that woman Bill coming to him at the well? Can you imagine Jesus looking at her and saying, wrap that thing up, shake it fast, show me what you're working with? No, no. Jesus said, give me a drink of water. He did not speak to the woman in a condescending manner. Come on. Come on, woman. I need you right up in here with me. You're going to get on this bandwagon and help me preach this message. I don't care how much you love the brother. Don't you let him call you a whore. I don't care how crazy you are about him. Don't you let him call you out of your name and use that B word at you. You put your hands on your hip and you look that nigga right into the eye and you say, don't you call me out of my name because I'm a child of God. I have been made in his image and have been created after his likeness. And if you don't like it, hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more. Listen, listen, listen. Jesus put us on guard. He tells us, beware of wolves in sheep clothing. Don't look now, but there are some wolves lurking around the church house. I don't know where they are, but I know they are in the church house at every opportunity there is to in a worship service. Sometimes they are not easily detectable because why? Satan knows how to dress up and look like us. He knows how to talk like us. He knows the vocabulary of worship. He knows how to gyrate your hair and appear genuine. He knows how to make up his own tongue so that he sounds religious when all the time he's serving the pastor. And what is he doing? He's looking for somebody needy. Somebody's been burned. Somebody been dropped. Somebody been abused. Somebody been misused. And somebody been mistreated. And his object is they don't want to pray for you. P-R-A-Y. They want to pray on you. P-R-E-Y. They know how to use the right words. They know how to beckon you into their webs because they have been conscious of your need and have defined your vulnerability. I may not get a minister among you again, but I'm delivering the word here today. You got to learn not to divulge your soul to just any and anybody. There are some things you ought to keep to yourself until the Lord releases you to say it. Is there anybody who believes that God have the power to direct your destiny? Is there anybody on this platform, you like me, you try to direct your own destiny, you messed up and you finally have to surrender to God saying, all right, God, I tried to do it all by myself, but now I found out that every time I do it by myself, I just make matters a whole lot worse. But now, dear God, I surrendered it all to you. I drop everything at your feet, every problem, every difficulty, every trial, every tribulation, every disappointment, my God, every rejection, every temptation. I've decided that I'm going to trust you to make a way out of no way, because everything I do is never by accident, but all things that I do are done by providence. Amen. My first point was that every woman wants a man who have a defined and intimate relationship with my God. Second point was every woman wants a man who will respect her innermost needs and not take advantage of her vulnerability. Which leads me to my third point. That in order for you to really determine if the dude have a defined and intimate relationship with God, to really discover whether that man is not taking advantage of your vulnerability and really has a post on your innermost need, and somebody need to hear this, your innermost need are not erratic. Let me say it again. Your innermost need are not erratic. They are needs that goes deeper than your sexual craving. Some of you on this platform looking at me as if I'm crazy, probably questioning, what's wrong with Pastor Tucker? Well, let me tell you something. Some of the brothers are probably saying, hell no, he better not go there. He messing up my program, talking like that on this network. That's right, because I'm calling out every demon that is in the ministerial platform, every praying mantis that is tuned in the name of Jesus, I come against you and tell you to go back to hell. How do you tell? And how can you tell it? I'm glad you asked, because it's all written here in this book. Let's open up the Bible. Come on, let's do it like some of those televangelists on TV does it. Some of you like those Caucasian preachers who, when they open up the Bible, and I like them too, sometimes you would hear somebody hail out in the background saying, read, sir, read. Let me continue with my third point. Every woman needs a man who will communicate with her. Sister Andrew, you hear that? Every woman needs a man who will communicate with her and not rap to her. I know this is a rap generation, but can you imagine watching Jesus as he sat there at the well? Can you imagine he begin to make his move? Can you imagine communicating as the generation does? And he sit there, hey, my name is Jesus and I'm tired and thirsty. Travel a long distance to this place called Sychar. Tired and thirsty, saw you coming down the hill. My heart leaped for joy, knowing my thirst would be quenched. Please give me a drink, Jesus asks of her. Sir, the well is deep and you have nothing to draw with. Give me a drink, Jesus begged of her. Give me a drink, Jesus beckoned to her. Give me a drink, Jesus demanded of her. If you knew the gift of God and who is talking to you, you would have offered him a drink and he would give you living water. Living water. Living water. Can you imagine Jesus, my brethren? Jesus did not rap. Jesus engaged in what? Communication. What is communication, preacher? Communication is in-depth conversation. What is communication? Communication is talk that matter. What is rap? Rap is jive talk that has nothing to do with your Christian walk. Rap is saying to folks, I'm a poet and you know it. Young, beautiful, smart Christian woman always dealing with some idiot who can hardly talk. Well, let me tell you something. You know what? Well, you want to see? You know me. Any fool you ever meet who can't speak in a complete sentence, you drop him like a hot potato because he ain't worth your time. My God, at least find an intelligent dude who can talk instead of going after those fools who can't even carry a decent conversation. My brethren, Jesus did not rap. He communicated. Let me act dignified on this platform. Behave yourself, Pastor Tucker. Communication, what is it? Conversation that matters. Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, will you give me a drink? The woman replied, but you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. How can you ask me for a drink? Jesus answered, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is to ask you for a drink, you would have asked him and he'd have given you living water. My God, communication. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did his son, his flock, and his herd? In verse 9, the woman is permitted to raise an interrogative. She suggested, how can you ask me for a drink? Jesus responded, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him for a drink and he would give you living water. What is communication? Communication is conversation that matter. Conversation with meaning. Conversation with worth. What is communication? In-depth conversation. And because it's communication, she made suggestion by asking two more questions in verse 11. You have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Whence can you get this living water? Then she questioned, are you greater than our father, Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did his sons, his flocks, and his herd? Jesus did something that is unheard of. Now remember, he's not just a man. He's not just a carpenter, but even his enemies recognize him as a rabbi. And because he's a rabbi, a Jewish rabbi, never talk or engage in public dialogue with a woman, because women in those days and time were considered a chattel, C-H-A-T-D-L-E, meaning property. But Jesus has such enormous respect for a woman that he engaged in conversation that matters and asked her intriguing questions so that he could stimulate dialogue. And dialogue, when properly stimulated, always allowed for question. Follow me, I'm going somewhere with this. But oh, so often, many of our brothers are cavetic. They have a caveman mentality. And they have bastardized the scriptures, because to be the priest of your household does not mean that you chain your woman in conversation. If you really love her and respect her, you allow her to communicate and raise her question. Without question, you don't have the dialogue. If there are no questions, all you have is a monologue. Whenever there is the give and take between answers and question, you are able to unburden a whole lot of what is inside of you, because the truth of the matter is, and I've discovered this after 6 or 6 years living here on planet Earth, we have more questions than we have answers. Am I right about that? How many of you have discovered, as I have, that you have more problems than you have solutions? So the wise men and the wise women are not those who always have the answer. They are the ones who raise the questions. And the longer Jesus communicated with her, the longer he engaged in conversation that matters and conversation that have depth, the more the woman feel relaxed. That is why by the time he continued with the conversation according to the text and say to her, go home, call your husband or tell your husband, the woman cannot lie. Had he raised the question earlier, she might have lied. But the conversation in depth, the conversation talk that matters, allowed her to know, here is a man who is concerned about me. Therefore, if he is really concerned about me, I don't have to lie about how I really feel. I can be upfront and personal, up close and honest, and allow the chips to fall where they may. Now watch this. Watch this. The whole issue of whom she is living with take place when the two parties in dialogue are comfortable with each other. And once they are comfortable, Jesus can drop the bomb question. Where's your husband? He asks. Ain't got no husband, she replied. Notice, she also answered the question. She did not volunteer any further information. She stopped right there. She said, I have no husband. And Jesus followed it up with her because they have been engaging what? In-depth conversation. And Jesus said, I know. Because the man you are living with is not your husband, but he's somebody you are shacking up with. He's your common law arrangement. Notice the conversation, though taking place in a public arena, it's private between them. Jesus never brings the bomb question out in public to embarrass or humiliate anybody. That is why he knew he had to send the disciples away into the village of Sychar, because his unction told him that he was going to have a close encounter of a spiritual kind. Somebody ought to know where I'm going or feel where I'm going with this. How many of you know what it is to be in worship and all of a sudden God speaks through the preacher, the Holy Spirit speaks to you through a song, and all of a sudden across the mind or screens of your mind, something that tells you he's on my street, she's on my street, and nobody knows why you break down and cry. Nobody knows why you ran out of the building. Nobody knows why you jump up and shout. But when you get home and you go behind closed doors, there ain't nobody there but you and Jesus. You're able to converse with Jesus in a way that frees you, in a way that liberates you, in a way that emancipates you, so you can drop the chains and get rid of the bonds that binds you down and stand up as a creature in Christ who can say, I'm free at last. I'm free at last. Tongue God Almighty, I'm free at last. Look at how the conversation ends. Jesus said, look, there is coming a day when we will not worship in this mountain, which is in Jerusalem, that's where we are going. But we will also not worship in this mountain. That's Mount Gerizim. That's where the Samaritan established their place of worship after the Assyrian captivity in 727 BC. But I've got another thing I want to tell you. There is coming a day when the true worshipers will worship God in God in my mountain or in your mountain. Who will not worship God in my mountain or in your mountain? Because the true worshipers will worship God in spirit and in truth. About that time, the woman forgot all about her thirst. She forgot all about what the people might be saying. She dropped her water pot, began to run into the city, and somebody picked up her declaration. She said, come see a man. Somebody on this platform need to know that a real man is somebody who loves the Lord. A real man is somebody who loves to walk with the Lord. A real man is somebody who loves to praise the Lord. A real man is somebody who loves to give vent and magnification. And I don't mind telling you that I am a man. from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet. There's nothing homosexual about me. There's nothing sissified about me. But I'm like you. I need that man. Does anybody here need my man? Does anybody know who I'm talking about? I'm not talking about Abraham. I'm not talking about Isaac. I'm not talking about Jacob. But I'm talking about my main man. Can I call the roll up here today? Cisco need to know who a real man is. D'Angelo need to know who a real man is. P didn't need to know who a real man is. Somebody need to wake up Tupac and let him know he missed the real man. Somebody need to wake up the notorious Mr. B.I.G. and tell him he may have been big to everybody else, but my man, he is so high you can't get over him. My man is so low you can't get under him. My man is so wide you can't wrap your hand around him. Does anybody know my man? Is anybody here saved by my man? Does anybody feel joy in my man? Has he lifted you up? Has he turned you around? Has he put your feet on solid ground? Well, I don't see anybody acting like it. I don't hear anybody sounding like it. Well, maybe I ought to tell you my story. I was on my way to hell one day, caught up in how I look, how my curly hairs and my hazel eye would take me places, how the girls would strung around me like bees on a honey. After a while, nobody wanted to bother with me, but I'm so glad. I said, I'm so glad. God said, boy, get me on yourself. I can take that curly hair and leave your head bald and hairless. I can pluck out those hazel eye and leave you blind and in darkness. You don't need those things to talk to me. All you have to do is open up your mouth. I'll put a trumpet down in your soul. He said, shout like you never did before. Tell somebody I'm wonderful. Tell somebody I'm a counselor. Tell somebody I'm mighty God. Tell somebody I'm everlasting Father. Tell somebody that I'm the Prince of Peace. Tell somebody I am joy. Tell somebody I'm a heart fixer. Tell somebody I'm a mind regulator. Tell somebody I'm peace. Tell somebody I'm sanctification. Tell somebody I'm justification. Tell somebody I'm love. Tell somebody I'm redemption. Tell somebody I'm a doctor. Tell somebody I'm a lawyer. Tell somebody I'll wipe their tears. Tell somebody I'll pick them up. I'll turn them around and put their feet on solid ground. Does anybody know my man? Does anybody here knows my man? Is he able? Is he able? Is he able to keep you from falling? Is he able to be your company keeper when you're all by yourself? Is he able to be your friend who stick closer than a brother? Is he able? Is he able to be your when your mother and your father forsake you? Then the Lord, do you hear me? Anybody here ever been dropped? Anybody here ever been dropped? Did the Lord pick you up? Did some no good man walk out and leave you? Did somebody drop you? Did somebody leave you all by yourself? Well, don't you be like a fool and go home feeling sorry for yourself. Wash your face. Get your nails done. Do something with your nappy hair. Put some clothes on your back. Put some shoes on your feet. Walk through the door with your head up and your back straight. And you tell that no good, dirty, low down man, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, not my pain. On Christ, not my predicament. On Christ, not my situation. On Christ, not my circumstances. On Christ, not my tears. On Christ, not my loneliness. On Christ, not my singleness. On Christ, not my brokenness. But on Christ, the solid rock I stand. Does anybody feel like giving him praise? Did somebody dump you, but the Lord came by, pick you up, turned you around? Then why don't you get rid of your sophistication, forget about what somebody said, and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I could have lost my mind, but you picked me up. I could have gone crazy, but thank you, God. You could have become a prostitute, but thank you, God. Hold on. Hold Can I tell you why? Because he's more than enough. Ain't he more than enough? Somebody ought to have a testimony. Greater is he that is in me, yea, 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 than he that is in the world. Anybody got a testimony? I am more, whole and more than a conqueror through him that loved me. Somebody put your hands together. Somebody shout from the depth of your soul, I love you, I love you, I love you. I may not have money in the bank, but I love you. I may be broke and penniless, but I love you. I may only have one set of shoes and one set of clothes to wear, but I love you. I may be all by myself, but I love you. I may be living in hell, but I love you. Yes, I do. 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 Father, I want to thank you again. Thank you so much for allowing me to minister to your people today about this man that every woman need, every man, every woman need. I pray, God, that your words did reach home, that it has reached, developed wing to fly to the minds and the soul of your people, that this is the man that every man and woman need. Believers, it's time to live right, walk right, so you can walk a victorious life. God bless you. I'm
God
done.
Bless you. God bless you.
I'll turn the service back over to the moderator.
Oh, my God. My God. My God. Woo, my God. Did we hear from God today? Did we not hear from God today?